days. From the recording library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the recording library of West Texas. It's 3 p.m.
It's in Texas Monthly. Howdy, welcome to our program. I'm KC Jobe, and this is Texas Monthly Magazine on site and sound broadcasting. First article will be from our December issue, and it is a feature article in the cover story. It's entitled, Year of the Taco. The perfect food not only survived 2020, it thrived and evolved. Our first ever Ultimate Texas Tacopedia will guide you through the state's growing profusion of tortilla wrap delights from El Paso to Houston and beyond. This is by Jose R. Relat. Bunch of different articles, so we'll start with the introduction. Back in April, as we were grappling with the early stages of the pandemic, I wrote an optimistic ode to what I called the enduring taco. Not only did my favorite food offer tortilla-wrapped comfort when we needed it most, but its versatility, economy, and portability made it almost pandemic-proof. There's never been a better time to sell tacos, Andrew Savoy, the chef and co-owner of Dallas's resident taqueria, told me at the time. What I've witnessed this year backs up Savoy's assertion. Commodore and Suerte, two high-end Austin restaurants, pivoted to sell taco kits after dining rooms were closed across the state. Torchy's Tacos went ahead with pre-pandemic expansion plans, and since March has opened 9 new restaurants in Texas and 3 other states. Nationally, food delivery service company DoorDash reported in July that its customers said they missed dining on Mexican food more than any other cuisine during quarantine. With more people making tacos at home, tortilla sales across the country rose a reported 10%. As we've all had to do this year, taquerias have adapted and evolved. While the basic framework of tortilla plus filling plus salsa remains, the taco continues to change in new and exciting ways. Just look at the many types now available across Texas, where the twin forces of tradition and modernization keep things interesting. Tradition is sustained in the rural areas of the state with their decades-old homey Mexican diners and cafes. In our cities, chef-driven restaurants and freewheeling pop-ups are experimenting, sometimes subtly and other times with abandon. Several of the styles growing in popularity include costras, which with tortillas covered in griddled cheese, birria de res tacos filled with slow-cooked beef and served with a side of consomme, and Japanese tacos, combining ingredients and methods you might find in Tokyo and Tijuana. At Texas Monthly, we have long chronicled the changing landscape of Mexican and Tex-Mex cuisine. In our most recent taco cover story in 2015, the magazine published a hefty compilation of the top 120 tacos in the state. When I came aboard as Texas Monthly's first taco editor late last year, I began working on the long-planned follow-up to that list. Then COVID-19 forced life and our plans to a head-jerking halt. Since travel became difficult, we needed to revise our strategy. So we took our cues from the state's taco chefs and cooks, most of them Latinos, one of the groups hit hardest by the coronavirus, who reimagined and reinvented themselves this year. Instead of a best-of list, we've assembled the Ultimate Texas Tacopedia, a compilation of the state's favorites and most exciting taco styles that spells out where to find the best specimens of each dish. And at TexasMonthly.com, we have more taco guides, including taco trails featuring dozens of recommended taquerias in 6 regions of the state. Buen provecho. And a first little sidebar kind of thing here is prime examples of each style. And the tacos al vapor Monterrey out of Brownsville. There's La Resistencia in Dallas, Los Jocales Restaurant in Laredo, Mascaras Mexican Grill in Dallas, Granny's Tacos in Austin, Caseta's Meat Market in Anthony, Hido's Cajun Cochina in Houston, Carnitas Loña in San Antonio, Nick's de Taqueria in Austin, Urban Taco Dallas, Suerte in Austin, Mrs. G's Tacos and More in McAllen, Taquito's West Avenue San Antonio, LMI in El Paso, Descada in Austin, Ray's Drive-In in San Antonio, Revolver Taco Lounge in Dallas, Manuel's Crispy Tacos in Odessa, El Ultimo Taco Taqueria in Brownsville, La Macro in Houston, Mariachi's Dine-In in Fort Worth, and the Jerk Shack in San Antonio. We're going to hit them all right here. This is the Tacopedia. Al Vapor, the definition is steamed tacos, also known as tacos sudados, from Spanish term for sweaty, and as tacos de canasta. Prime example is the deshebrada, shredded beef, at Tacos al Vapor Monterrey in Brownsville. Although tacos al vapor are found from Brownsville to Dallas, they come to wider attention last year with the help of Netflix's Taco Chronicles, the James Beard award-winning docuseries. One installment put the spotlight on tacos de canasta, which are steamed in woven baskets, or canastas, and sold on the streets of Mexico City. In Texas, tacos al vapor are typically prepared in steamer trays or pots to achieve the desired moistness and flavor. Brownsville's Tacos al Vapor Monterrey at 74 South Price Road uses a metal steamer pot typical of those in its namesake city. The restaurant offers platters of its eponymous tacos on small corn tortillas, which shimmer red-orange and contain fillings such as refried beans, shredded beef, mashed potatoes, chicharrón or fried pork skin, and picadillo, with garnishes of shredded cabbage, sliced onions, and chopped tomatoes. Their compact size and pleasant greasiness make them ideal for voracious late-morning munching, especially after late-night imbibing. Asian Mex is a definition. It's a wide category that includes Korean, Japanese, and Indian tacos featuring ingredients and cooking methods native to Asia. A prime example is the Yakitori fish taco at La Resistencia in Dallas. After becoming all the rage in Los Angeles more than a decade ago, Korean tacos quickly made their way to Texas and are now the most common Asian tacos in the state. Korean tacos are corn or flour tortillas stuffed with marinated meats, including strips of umami-infused beef bulgogi, and topped with an assortment of cabbage preparations, most notably pepe, aromatic kimchi. Nailing the elements perfectly is what makes San Antonio's Bulgogi Boys trailer, that's usually at 14,530 Roadrunner Way, the best in the state. Austin's Reunion 19 at 1700 East 2nd Street in Austin, which specializes in West Coast-style tacos, goes the vegetarian route with the K-Town Shroom, cremini mushrooms dressed in palate-tickling fermented chili-based gochujang salsa and capped with red onion kimchi. Japanese tacos are a rising style of Asian Mex. Most prominent exemplars are in the Dallas area. First is Itoko Omakase at 1030 West John Carpenter Freeway in Las Colinas, where luscious buttery sea urchin is a customer favorite, as is the eel. Then there's La Resistencia at 2701 Main, an offshoot of Revolver Taco Lounge that specializes in Japanese yakitori-style seafood, including a Baja-inspired fish taco with a majestic fried whole prawn. A taste of the Pacific Islands is found in Tyler at Si Rojo's Taqueria, 13,156 County Road 3140. Chef and co-owner Rogelio Tellez serves Tamex, a blend of his wife's Chamorro Northern Marianas heritage and his own Mexican culinary tradition. The shrimp taco features plump blackened crustaceans with a pleasant chew. Chipotle mayo and mango pico give every bite wonderful heat. For more of the tropics, request the flour tortillas made with coconut to resemble the Chamorro tortillas, a cross between tortillas and flatbread. At Subcontinental Indo-Mex Specialist Twisted Turban, 2838 South Texas Highway 6 in Houston, the tortilla is replaced with paratha, a North Indian flatbread, and filled with spicy halal stews of succulent beef and cauliflower with squiggles of arrayata. Another one is the barbacoa, or barbecue taco. It's a definition. Barbacoa is steamed meat, typically cow's head or beef cheeks. Barbecue tacos are smoked meats wrapped in a tortilla. The prime example is the Robert Special at Los Yocales Restaurant in Laredo. As every smoked meat fanatic ought to know, before there was Texas barbecue, there was barbacoa. Traditionally, barbacoa, which has its roots in the cuisine of the Taino people of the Caribbean Basin, is cooked in underground pits or ovens. State health regulations have forced restaurants to use steamers or pressure cookers, with one notable exception, Vetta's Backyard Barbecue, 2404 Southmost Boulevard in Brownsville. 65-year-old joint was grandfathered in. Still prepares its specialty, cabeza de la vaca, cow's head, underground in a brick-lined pit, where the meat is smoked over mesquite coals for as long as 12 hours. The cheap meat, Vera's most popular item, is tender and smoky. Among the best purveyors of beef barbacoa that use more newfangled methods are Southside Barbacoa at 5894 Everhart Road in Corpus Christi, Martinez Bakery at 206 East Florida Avenue in Midland, and Mary's Taco at 1616 Broadway in Kerrville. At Austin's Sabor Tapatio at 5604 South Congress Avenue, silky barbacoa is placed on a tortilla topped with cheese and folded before being crisped on the griddle. on the other side of the slash is Barbacoa's descendant, Barbecue. Serving smoked meat in a tortilla allows it to go further and at a better price. A standout is Valentina's Tex-Mex Barbecue at 11,500 Montaca Road in Austin, whose real deal Hollyfield taco is an impressive messy assembly of refried beans, bacon, potatoes, brisket, fried egg, and a tomato serrano salsa. Another is Laredo's Los Yocales restaurant at 620 Guadalupe, whose Robert special with mesquite smoked brisket topped with cracked bacon is one of the greatest breakfast tacos in the state. Birria style tacos, a definition, it's a Mexican stew featuring any variety of meat. When made with cheese, birria tacos can also be called quesitacos or quesitacos, queso tacos, quesabirria, and quesabirria. Prime example is the quesabirria at Mascaras Mexican Grill in Dallas. Birria is arguably the trendiest taco of the past year and a half, and it's also probably the most misunderstood. Its popularity in beef form has led to a perception that birria is an ingredient. It's not. It's a comforting, honey, homey stew that can be made with any number of proteins. In Jalisco, the Mexican state commonly accepted as the birthplace of birria, it traditionally contains goat or lamb. Tijuana is the birthplace of the distinctive vermilion-stained tacos de birria, Jerez, the beef ones, whose tortillas are slathered in rich chili-infused consomme and accompanied by the same broth in cups for dipping before being fried. They've set the stateside taco landscape ablaze, beginning in Los Angeles, where Vanguard Taquerias leveraged social media to promote them. Texas taco joints took notice. Among those operations, adding birria de res to their menus is El Remedio at 2924 Culebra Road in San Antonio, which uses a recipe from Saguayo, Mexico, but gives it a West Coast touch by adding oozing white cheese to make knockout quesitacos. The Wall Street Cochina at 703 West Wall in Midland uses a beef birria recipe inspired by the crispy breakfast tacos sold in the streets of Guadalajara. At Dallas's Mascaras Mexican Grill at 2423 West Keith Boulevard, co-owner Rodolfo Jimenez, who hails from Guadalajara, offers the stretchiest, most flavorful quesabirria. Although birria de res seems to rule right now, Revolver Taco Lounge, 2701 Main in Dallas, serves a straight-up traditional birria de carrito. The goat taco is faintly gamey, delight on two fresh, house-made corn tortillas. Then there's a breakfast taco. The definition is a wide category. It applies to breakfast fillings and a few surprises wrapped in a tortilla that can be served any time of the day. And the prime example is the chilaquili taco at Granny's Tacos in Austin. If any dining issue divides Texans as much as the topic of beans and chili, it's breakfast tacos. Austin and San Antonio love to argue about which city is the birthplace of this morning mainstay, but neither has a legitimate claim. That's because it hails from both sides of the borderlands, where breakfast tacos like those at Sylvia's restaurant, 1843 Southmost Boulevard in Brownsville, dominate. Known as tortillas de harina, referring to the large flour tortillas in which they're served, Sylvia's best tacos include Moscato con huevo, the carne guisada, and the off-menu medium, which is crammed with chopped fajita, avocado, mozzarella. It's best to cut these offerings in half before eating. Breakfast tacos are a way of life across South Texas. There's an astonishing array in San Antonio, including the bone-in pork chop taco at Garcia's Mexican Food, 842 Fredericksburg Road. It's served with a steak knife, but I don't use it and instead go all in, eating a taco with my hands and chowing down around a bone. Over at Con Huevos Tacos at 1629 East Houston in San Antonio, the potato and egg taco features cubed tubers, brown and snappy at the edges, mixed in with bouncy scrambled eggs, giving a spike of heat with red jalapeno salsa. Farther north at East Austin Trailer, Granny Tacos, 1401 East 7th, the chilaquiles taco is what the Migas virgin wants to be when it grows up. Migas, a dish featuring crushed tortilla chips scrambled with eggs, pico de gallo, and cheese, is a common breakfast taco filling from Austin South. The more complex chilaquiles taco is made with stale tortillas that are cooked in salsa and then topped with eggs, usually fried. At Granny's, the eggs in these tacos are scrambled and the salsa is abundant. To the east, in Katy, Los Muertos BBQ at 25551 Kingsland Boulevard serves up fantastic smoked weenies and eggs in a fluffy flour tortilla. A couple of little sidebars here we've got time for. Carnitas Lonja in San Antonio is standing out with one magical dish. When Alejandro Paredes opened Carnitas Lonja in South San Antonio in the spring of 2017, it was a shock to the local culinary scene. Even though the city is packed with taco joints, it didn't have anything like this tiny taqueria. which focused almost exclusively on carnitas. Locals lined up for the luscious, slow-cooked pork topped with crispy chicharrón and served on fragrant house-made corn tortillas. National accolades started pouring in. Paredes traces his passion for food back to his upbringing in Morelia, Mexico. I started cooking in the house, cooking the rice and helping out in the kitchen, he says. When he was about 18, he was captivated by the Portugal episode of Anthony Bourdain's TV show, A Cooked Tour. Me and my cousin were watching that episode, and we were like, man, can you imagine doing all this, he recalls. After moving to San Antonio for college, Paredes began working his way up in the food industry, becoming a sous chef at the fine dining restaurant, Luc, which closed in February 2017. At Carnitas Loña, Paredes uses 5 hotel pans, which can hold 40 pounds of pork apiece, to prepare his namesake product. He also serves house-made chorizo and menudo. Over the past 2 years, he's expanded the taqueria's dining space, and in 2019 opened a seafood shack on the property called Fish Loña. Although he's closed Fish Loña for now and has converted to takeout only during the pandemic, there's been one bright spot this year. He was named a James Beard semifinalist for Best Chef Texas. Another one here is Let's Salsa. Red or green, salsa roja, and salsa verde are broad terms that refer only to the hue. They tell you nothing about the ingredients or the heat level of the chilies. Here are 5 specific salsa standouts. The creamy jalapeno salsa, consistency, it's smooth and velvety, jalapeno, salt, garlic, canola oil. The heat level, it's addictively hot. It pairs well with bean and cheese tacos. And you can get it one place is Salsa Doña from Taco Deli. Roasted tomatillo poblano salsa. It's a medium body with subtle texture. It's got tomatillas, onions, poblano, jalapeno. Heat level is generally mild. Pairings are carnitas or barbacoa tacos. And you can get a pretty good roasted tomatillo poblano salsa from Discada. And salsa matcha consistency is it's just chunky or paste-like. It's got nuts, chili morita, garlic, and oil in it. It's fiery hot. Goes well with carnitas, suadero, or birria tacos. And the Paprika restaurant makes a good salsa matcha. Salsa de chili arbol, it's a smooth but hearty, it's not watery. Chili de arbols, salt, onion, and tomato are the main ingredients. The heat level is zesty to hot, pairs well with tacos de trompo or bistec. And you can get a good example of that from that Paprika restaurant, it's the salsa de chili de arbol. And salsa de habanero, it's chunky to creamy. It's got chili habanero and any combination of fruits, vegetables, and herbs, including onion, citrus, and cilantro. The heat level, it's usually throat-scratchingly hot, pairs well with the grilled salmon or chicken tacos, and discada makes a very good version. We turn now on how to taco. It's crowdsourcing sidebar. In pre-pandemic times, crowded taquerias or long lines in front of trailers were helpful markers of quality tacos. We don't have those signposts right now, but a full parking lot, albeit with customers waiting for curbside pickup, remains a good indicator. Turn to burritos now, tacos de burritos. Definition, it's a large flour tortilla stuffed with main ingredient and refried beans and usually rolled. Prime example is the Colitas de Pavo burrito at Cazares Meat Market in Anthony. These large tacos are a staple of the U.S.-Mexico borderland, specifically the states of Sonora, Chihuahua, California, Arizona, and New Mexico, with a sliver of far west Texas near El Paso. Cazares Meat Market, 717 South Main in Anthony, north of El Paso, serves a spicy, skinny burrito stirred with crunchy but moist colitas de pavo, or fried turkey tails. Juarez Import Taqueria El Cometa, 4131 North Mesa in El Paso, offers a burrito, an alternative name for the taco style, that is folded and filled with delicate twists of beef. Midland Institution Oscar's Super Burrito at 4306 Neely Avenue plays wildly with its fillings, such as with the Oscar's Special, egg, breakfast sausage, chorizo, ham, bacon, rice, beans, and hash browns, or fries slathered with chili con queso. Cajun Mex tacos, a hybrid of the indigenous cuisine of Cajun Louisiana and Tex-Mex, a prime example is the Boudin Taco at Ito's Cajun Cocina in Houston. Texas's most diverse city, Houston, is home to many burgeoning taco styles, including Cajun Mex, which finds its apex at Ito's Cajun Cochina, 2919 Leland, a food truck stationed at Ito's Hand Car Wash in the East Downtown neighborhood. Both businesses are owned by husband and wife Jason and Star Harry. The truck peddles large flour tortillas packed with gumbo or rice speckled boudin. Each of Edo's tacos is topped with a quick shot of Mexican cheese blend and a slice of green bell pepper, punctuated with pico de gallo, garnishes ratchet up the taco's already punchy flavors. The carnitas, it's a pork slowly braised in its own fat. Prime example is to build your own carnitas taco platter at Carnitas Loña in San Antonio. Old school carnitas, or little meats, in which the cuts of pork, including cerritos, or skin, shoulder, and butt, are braised in their own lard and a cazo, a large pot with a wide rim and narrow bottom, are a rare treat. You'll find them at San Antonio's Carnitas Don Ruel, 2202 Broadway, the stateside outpost of the longtime favorite in Morelia, Mexico. These carnitas tacos taste just like the original. Best of the available menu options is the sortida, a salty mix of all the cuts, offering crunchy, soft, and slick textures in a doubled-up corn tortilla. Many U.S. restaurants prepare the dish in a stovetop pot or pan filled with manteca or semi-solid pork fat that braises the pork for hours. At San Antonio's Carnitas Loña, 1107 Roosevelt Avenue, Morelia native Alejandro Paredes, who we heard from earlier, makes his signature dish in large hotel pans. The pork is silky, slightly sweet, and served by the pound for tacos. In Austin, Margarito Perez, who owns the Paprika food truck at 6519 North Lamar Boulevard, uses innovation spurred by limited space to make his carnitas. He cooks pork sous vide for at least 12 hours to create juicy threads of meat and tops it with nutty, prickly salsa matcha. Your chef-driven tacos, definition, creative tacos that defy traditional boundaries and incorporate unusual ingredients and flavor combinations, often sold at a higher price, but are worth it when done with integrity. Prime example is the enchilada potosina taco at Nixta Taqueria in Austin. Although some tacos in this category can be over the top or self-indulgent, think lobster salad with micro celery and edible gold flakes on a hibiscus corn tortilla, there are exceptions to be found across the state. Dallas's resident taqueria at 9661 Audelia Road offers a caramelized cauliflower taco with twists of kale and a sprinkle of pepitas that's finished with a drizzle of fragrant lemon epazote crema. At another Dallas restaurant, Jose at 4931 West Lovers Lane, executive chef Anastasia Quinones Pittman surprises guests with the rotating Tacos de Tacha special. Tacha was her childhood nickname. One day, AQ, as she is known, might serve up fried redfish and black beans with a habanero ash aioli on a refreshing cilantro corn tortilla. Next day, she might offer coconut battered queso asadero with pepitas pesto on a mild habanero corn tortilla flavored with carrot and coconut. In Austin, Sarah Martin-Biggie and Chef Edgar Rico, the owners of Nixta Taqueria, 2512 East 12th, dole out a delightful regular menu and daily specials featuring innovative homages to their diverse backgrounds. Rico's family come from San Luis Potosi, Mexico. Martin Biggie's heritage is Iranian, while respecting Mexican traditions. The standout of their everyday menu is Rico's version of the enchilada potosina, an open-faced gallo salsa-infused tortilla topped with a swoosh of duck fat refried beans, sweet and smooth, and heavy-handed plops of chorizo potato puree, a pyramid of striking purple cabbage draped in roasted salsa arroja, and crumbles of queso enchilada, an imported chili-rubbed aged cow's milk cheese, caps the taco. The tortillas are made in-house from kernels that are soaked and ground in the masa. Its process, about 3,500 years old, is called nixtamalization from the Aztec word nixtamale. Sidebar here. How to taco. This is Tacos Illustrated. Although taquerias and restaurants sometimes get splashy with their exteriors to attract customers, the colorful designs can also help steer you toward what to order. Owner might hand paint the name of house specialties and other details on the walls or windows. Tip, always look for tortillas hechas a mano, handmade tortillas. The images of landscapes or animals might provide clues, too. A painting of the distinctive Cerro de Silla mountain could indicate that the joint serves dishes from the Monterrey region, while a depiction of a lamb could refer to barbacoa de borrego, a specialty of the state of Hidalgo. Taco costra, a definition of the taco in which the tortilla is replaced by, encased in, or filled with griddled cheese. Prime example of the carnitas a la tuma at Urban Taco in Dallas. Taking its name from the Spanish word for scab or crust, the costra-style taco is a popular after-bar snack in Mexico City that is becoming more popular in Texas. Chilango's Tacos at 10777 Harry Hines Boulevard in Dallas will enfold any of its flour tortilla tacos in a casing of fried cheese upon request, but the classic choice is pork sliced from the trompo. The Houston pop-up Eddie O's Texas Barbecue. Call ahead, 713-659-9961, to find out where he'll be next. Grilled Monterey Jack is the tortilla, a tortilla de queso, nestling pecan-smoked brisket, as well as pickled carrot, whose flavor and bite balance the powerful, salty, and peppery elements of the cheese and beef. In Austin, La Tunita 512 at 2400 Burleson Road tweaks the style by folding biela teres into a griddled cheese shell and inserting it inside a corn tortilla for dunking in consomme. Urban Taco at 5321 East Mockingbird Lane in Dallas puts the griddled cheese on the exterior of a house-made corn tortilla for its taco a la Tuma. In this case, the cheese is one-year-aged Spanish Manchego. Between the layer of cheese and the nixtamalized corn tortilla are a couple slices of jalapeno filled with the meat of your choice. Go for the carnitas. The whole taco is given a quick habanero salsa bath. Dessert tacos. Definition of tortilla wrap sweet. Fillings range from ice cream and mousse to fresh fruit. The Choco Taco at Suerte in Austin is a fine example. Like Korean tacos, the dessert variety has quickly claimed a hold on Texans' taste buds. The most common version consists of a waffle cone shell jammed with ice cream or sweets like the From Scratch Pecan Pie Taco at Smoke Crafters at 5924 Texas Highway 107 in Mission. Suerte at 1800 East 6th Street in Austin offers a sophisticated Choco Taco that takes pastry chef Derek Flynn 2 days to prepare. Begins with nixtamalized red masa mixed with sugar, cocoa powder, and leavening agents to help keep the tortilla extra crisp when frozen. Roasted peanut caramel is piped into the bottom of the U-shaped shells, which are filled with cinnamon mascarpone mousse, and then frozen. Later, it all gets dipped in milk chocolate, hardened instantly. Think magic shell, and is covered with chopped roasted peanuts. I haven't encountered a better Choco Taco. For a different take, try the Fruit Taco at Houston's Carrasco's Ice Cream, 13,932 Westheimer Road. Sugar-dusted tamarind tortilla, imported from the Michoacan capital of Morelia, is packed with chunks of mango, pineapple, and cucumber, as well as julienne jicama and plump Japanese peanuts, a Mexican snack. Drizzles of spicy sour chamoy syrup, a pinch of tagine seasoning, and a lime wedge complete the dish. And it's kind of a convenient time here, natural place to take a break in the story and remind you that you're listening to Texas Monthly Magazine on site and sound broadcasting. This year marks over 50 years of enriching the lives of individuals with visual, physical, and perceptual disabilities. You can listen to sight and to sound on one of our specially tuned radios, channel 8.5 on TV, streaming on your computer or mobile device, or listening at your convenience on our archives page. We are sight and sound broadcasting since 1967. We now return to our text. We're reading all about tacos. This is Tacopedia, and next is Tacos Guisados. A taco filled with home-style slow-cooked casseroles, stews, and braises, especially those typically eaten from morning to midday. Prime example is the Carne Guisada breakfast taco at Mrs. G's Tacos and More in McAllen. This wide-ranging category includes fillings as simple as an eggs and chorizo mixture, or as complicated as mole, chili relleno, or birria, all served on tortillas. Taco often gets a scoop of rice to soak up extra sauce from the fillings. Thus, the Tacos de Arroz at Austin's Mi Tradicion Bakery, two locations. Perhaps the best of which is a blue corn tortilla covered in a layer of yellow rice and topped with a large breaded and fried cheese-stuffed chili relleno. Also remarkable is the ever-changing chili relleno taco at Dallas's Del Sur Taco at 720 East Jefferson Boulevard, a green chili that is open lengthwise and usually filled with queso panela and topped with pomegranate seeds. The Tex-Mex standard carne guisada, rich and beefy, makes for a filling morning meal at McAllen's Mrs. G's Tacos and More, 2263 Pecan Boulevard. The most unusual find for many Texans is likely to be the Colitas de Pavo, a far west Texas borderlands favorite of fried turkey tails with just enough fat to soften them. Our favorite is served at Flores Meat Market and Restaurant, 1781 North Zaragoza Boulevard in El Paso. Mini tacos is another category. These are tacos served on small tortillas, styled after the tiny, inexpensive Mexican street snacks. Prime example is Al Pastor and Bistec Mini Tacos at Taquitos West Avenue in San Antonio. properly known as street tacos, a misnomer if the tacos aren't ordered from a street stand or a sidewalk cart, many tacos are served on 3 to 5 inch tortillas and usually topped with a single traditional meat and a simple garnish such as onion and cilantro. Cuantos Tacos, 1108 East 12th in Austin, serves such a taco with luscious unchopped lengua or beef tongue. Taquitos West Avenue at 2818 West Avenue in San Antonio offers al pastor and soft chopped bistec. Both taquerias use 4-inch nixtamalized corn tortillas. Other taquerias specializing in mini tacos include Georgetown's Taqueria Tio Nacho at 112 Woodmont Drive, a whimsical joint inside a convenience store that serves sweet carnitas with crunch. Austin's Sabor Tapatio food truck, usually at 5604 South Congress Avenue, where the Campechano flavors features playful textures of beef and chorizo, and El Tizoncito, or with multiple locations in Dallas, where the smart choice is the Al Pastor. Another sidebar, how to taco, where to start. Without a great tortilla, you can't have a great taco. Look for places that make their own tortillas. Keep in mind that many make flour, corn, but not usually both. Always choose whatever is house-made. Your next best bet is to choose a taqueria, truck, or restaurant that sources its tortillas from a local tortilleria, such as San Antonio Colonial Tortilla Factory or Tatemo out of Houston. State has plenty of good ones. Another here is sidebar, the Jerk Shack in San Antonio, bringing the Caribbean to San Antonio. I think some people have misconstrued what authenticity is, says Nicola Black, the chef and owner of Jamaican restaurant The Jerk Shack on San Antonio's historically Mexican-American west side. People think because everyone's doing it, it makes it authentic. It's not necessarily so. She's carved out a niche by offering tacos that are rarely found in the city. Black opened The Jerk Shack in May 2018 as a walk-up restaurant, with a menu featuring proteins marinated in a scotch bonnet heavy mix of aromatics such as garlic and onions blended with allspice, ginger, and other earthy spices. The jerk marinade isn't sweat for days spicy, though, at least not anymore. Black, a Jamaican native who graduated from the Culinary Institute of America's San Antonio campus, realized early on that her spice was overwhelming customers' palates, so she dialed it back and let the fruity flavors come through. Black knows the importance of details. She served in the Army from 2002 to 2013 as a logistics officer, which required checking the equipment, uniforms, and weapons. Although she also sells other dishes, her pork, chicken, and vegan jackfruit tacos are particular standouts. One of the main reasons I decided to put tacos on the menu is because I love how tacos have grown across the world, she says. You name it, people are putting it inside of a taco. And another category here, modernist Mexican tacos, defined like chef-driven tacos. This category is chock full of creativity. However, the style is characterized more by contemporary interpretations of ancient and artisanal techniques. A prime example is the fried cauliflower taco at LMI in El Paso. The Caro Quintero, number one at Dallas's Revolver Taco Lounge, is a modernist gourmet taco bound in tradition. Deceptively simple, combining high-quality ingredients with artisanal techniques. At first glance, the compilation of ground Wagyu carne asada, green chorizo, and frijoles a la ola, or whole, pale-hued beans, on a handmade corn tortilla seem to be a gussied-up beast of a taco. But these are all top-tier ingredients, some of which, like the chorizo, are house-made. The creativity shines in the unusual flavor pairings. It's sweet and salty, with steak that is soft but has enough pushback for a good chew. Austin's Comedor at 501 Colorado, Texas Monthly's best new restaurant of 2020, offers roasted bone marrow served as herb-crusted cross-sectional femurs on a bed of Mexican mixed greens called quilites with a basket of fresh corn tortillas. The corn, made from ever-changing heirloom variety sourced from Mexico City-based purveyor Tamoa, is nixtamalized in-house. El Paso is the home of LMI at 313 North Kansas, a nearly 2-year-old eatery that walks the line between traditional fillings and new applications to best showcase the roots of Mexican food. Examples include the marinated pato or duck al pastor, cooked over a small Japanese wood-fired grill, and the fried cauliflower dressed in a from-scratch tawny almond mole atop a slightly spongy tortilla made, like all the tortillas here, with nixtamalized corn. Pork, beef, chicken, or a PBC taco. Taco built around one or more of these three basic, widely available ingredients. The prime example is the pork and beef discata taco at Discata in Austin. The These three fillings are staples of every run-of-the-mill taco spot and nondescript taco truck. Pork is usually al pastor or comes in the form of red chorizo. Beef is typically carne asada or bistec, and chicken is usually nothing more than grilled poultry or, at best, chipotle stewed tinga. However, there are taquerias that take PBC to the next level. The Discata food truck, 1319 Rosewood Avenue in Austin, serves just one type of taco, the Northern Mexican regional specialty that the truck is named for. Discata refers to a mixed meat preparation. In Discata's case, it's pork and beef, cooked for hours in a disco, a Northern Mexican implement sometimes called a cowboy wok, until it's reduced to a juicy filling that balances sweet, acetic, and spicy flavors. The Tlahaco Mexican Kitchen at 6702 San Pedro Avenue in San Antonio offers the ultimate comfort food with its beef and chicharron taco. In Bryan, Taqueria Poblana at 3200 Boonville Road doles out mouth-coating crumbles of beef chorizo served alongside pastor from a tompo in a building attached to a gas station. In the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Salsa Limon, on multiple occasions, shells out its trademark El Capitan, a toasted flour tortilla with melted Oaxaca Jack cheese encapsulating a filling of choice. I prefer their charred carne asada and chopped with pickled cabbage, raw onion, and cilantro. Meanwhile, El Come Taco at 2513 North Fitzhugh Avenue in Dallas specializes in Mexico City standards such as gentle and lean cabeza and suadero with a crisp exterior and soft interior. Puffy tacos. A definition, deep-fried corn tortillas that are crimped into a U-shape as they inflate. Prime example, the ground beef stuffed puffy taco at Ray's Drive-In in San Antonio, Texas. This regional fried taco is surprisingly hard to find beyond South Texas, maybe because it's delicate and has to be made just right. Its structural integrity has a brief half-life, so gobble the taco up as fast as you can before it turns to mush. It should have a glistening but not oily exterior that is also crunchy and flaky, and the interior should be soft and chewy. The shell should feel light. A perfect puffy taco gives the impression that it might float away. In selecting a filling, it's best to go traditional. At Ray's Drive-In at 822 Southwest 19th Street, San Antonio, and Cato's Restaurant at 607 West 2nd in Rio Grande City, the two icons of puffy tacos, go for the finely ground beef. At Henry's Puffy Tacos Express at 3202 West Woodlawn Avenue in San Antonio, opt for the juicy shredded chicken. Quick sidebars here, Flour Power. Flour tortilla, popular in Texas borderlands, is finally getting the respect it deserves in the rest of the state, where corn has long been considered the only true Mexican tortilla. But the flour tortilla is Mexican too. It originated in northern Mexican states, including Sonora, where wheat has been a thriving crop since it was introduced by Spanish explorers more than 500 years ago. Here are a few flour facts to choose on. When you're sizing things up, in Brownsville, flour tortillas can be intimidating large, especially when it comes to the region's hearty breakfast tacos, often referred to as tortillas de harina. Yes, that literally means flour tortillas, which feature flaky, lard-laced envelopes that can be even bigger than the plate on which they're served. When you order a breakfast taco in San Antonio or Austin, it's likely to come on a smaller, compact disc between 5 and 6 inches wide. Delicate subject. Sonoran-style tortillas are often considered the flour staple. Buttery rich, they consist only of flour, water, fat, and salt. The lack of a leavening agent leaves them paper thin. They can be stretched large for burritos and are common in far west Texas and in the Dallas area, where many taquerias rely on the same provider, Tortería La Norteña, whose owner hails from Sonora. Rising up, most common kind of flour tortilla is the Tex-Mex variety, which is thicker and heftier than its Sonoran-style siblings. That's because it uses baking powder, which leads to a chewier and puffier texture. These tortillas can hold substantial fillings, from fajita and whole bone-in pork chops to brisket topped with refried beans, fried egg, salsa, and cheese. You'll find them throughout the state, especially in Central Texas and Houston. And just say no! You might be tempted to reach for the mass-produced tortillas sold at some grocery stores, but commercial versions, those desiccated, quickly hardening discs with saggy pockets, should be avoided at all costs. The state is dotted with local tortillas producing fresh flour tortillas. Even H-E-B makes their own. More sidebar fun, this is How to Taco, a salsa sampler. Always ask for salsa recommendations and don't be afraid to experiment. You might come away surprised by the subtlety of a bright mango habanero. It's not as hot as you might think. Then there's the nutty dark mahogany of salsa matcha. alcohol-infused salsa borracha might have you begging for the recipe. Another little sidebar here. This is Taqueria Spotlight, LMI in El Paso, keeping tortilla traditions alive. As a teenager, Emiliano Marentes worked in the tortillerias of his native El Paso, delivering tortillas to restaurants. But the corn tortillas he ate at home were made in Cuadradores on the other side of the Rio Grande. It was just a way better tortilla, recalls Marentes. Relatives from Mexico would regularly bring fresh tortillas to Marentes' mother. Sometimes he and his mom would cross the border to pick up their own. His early introduction to restaurant kitchens inspired him to pursue a career as a chef in San Antonio, but memories of those tortillas drew Marentes back to El Paso 2 years ago to open LMI, a modern Mexican restaurant built on the country's culinary traditions. Like the Juarez Tortillas, LMI uses a centuries-old practice of nixtamalization. The resulting corn tortillas are the foundation of the taco-focused restaurant, which has only 8 tables inside, creating an irresistible intimacy. That was done on purpose, says Marentes, who co-owns a restaurant with his wife, Cristal. It was her idea to call it LMI. LMI is her nickname for Emiliano. The Suadero Taco, starring brisket sourced from local ranchers, is a standout on the menu. Another is the Campesino Taco, a mix of confit portobello mushrooms, grilled eggplant, avocado, black beans, and milky quesillo cheese. In the new Hulu series, Taste the Nation, Padma Lakshmi declared the Campesino at LMI reason enough to visit El Paso. The show's premiere, 3 months into the pandemic, gave LMI a much-needed influx of new customers. Next up in the Tacopedia, seafood tacos. This fish, shrimp, or any other type of seafood in a tortilla. Prime example is the Old Boxcaño at Revolver Taco Lounge in Dallas. Probably the best-known taco in its broad category is the iconic Baja-style grilled or battered and fried fish topped with a flurry of cabbage and squiggles of chipotle mayo. You'll find a twist on this classic at San Antonio's Mariscos del Puerto at 10430 Culebra Road, which uses carrots and jicama in place of cabbage. Restaurant plays freely with the ocean's bounty and its other selections as well. A blackened version of the Baja, usually using Mississippi catfish, is found in Dallas at Taco Evino at 213 West 8th, a wine and taco pairing restaurant. Another iconic seafood option is the Taco de Camarón Estilo, San Juan de los Lagos, ground shrimp folded into a tortilla that is then fried and topped with a loose tomato-based salsa, hailed from Jalisco's town of the same name, and in Texas can be found masterfully prepared at Dallas's Mascaras Mexican Grill. Chili freaks can request the extra spicy salsa for face-scratching fire. Across the Trinity River, Revolver Taco Lounge has long played with seafood presentations, including chef-owner Regino Rojas' homage to Mexico's Isla Olbox off the Yucatan Peninsula. His Olboxcaño is a pyramid of lobster sprinkled with sea beans, a salt-tolerant plant that commonly grows near tropical beaches, and pineapple pico and capped with a lone golden berry. Tacos dorados are another type of taco. That's a fried taco that can include taquitos and flautas. Prime example is the Manuel Taco at Manuel's Crispy Tacos in Odessa. The earliest taco recipes printed in the United States required frying the tortillas. More than a century later, tacos dorados, literally golden tacos, continue to be intensely popular. There are myriad examples including rolled taquitos, flautas, and the aforementioned San Antonio-style puffy taco, which is distinctive enough that it got its own category in this guide. Among the best examples in the state are the tacos dorados and flautas at Mascaras Mexican Grill, which piles them high with queso fresco, crema, lettuce, and extra topping, such as cerrito, curls of pickled pigskin. Also intoxicating are the thin-rolled tacos slathered in a mild emerald green salsa at the Oaxacan-inspired El Naranjo, 2717 South Lamar Boulevard in Austin. Capital City is also home to El Parito Trailer, usually at 1413 Weberville Road, which is inspired by El Paso's iconic rolled tacos. Officially, they're taquitos ahogados or flautas ahogados, fried and bathed in a thin tomato-based salsa roja and sprinkled with cheese. They're bursting with flavor, especially with a ping of tartness from the By Request salsa verde. Tacoholics at 1613 North Zaragoza Road in El Paso uses only salsa verde for its flautas ahogadas. Lucy's Restaurant, which has multiple locations also in El Paso, takes a different tack with its Tacos Antonia, crispy taco shells with arched edges dusted orange and red from Lowry seasoning and filled with shredded machaca, reconstituted northern Mexican-style salted dried beef, and topped with grated Munster cheese. Then there is the namesake specialty, Manuel's Crispy Tacos at 1404 East 2nd in Odessa. The Tacos Dorados at this Permian Basin institution opened in 1946 looked like miniature taco salads filled with ground beef, tomato, and a flurry of mixed cheeses. It's simply a joyful, tasty reminder of old-school Tex-Mex. Another category is Tacos Estilo Matamoros. It's defined as a beef and cheese taco that originated in the border town of Matamoros, Mexico. A prime example is the Bistec Estilo Matamoros at El Ultimo Taco Taqueria in Brownsville. A nod to the Rio Grande Valley's cattle ranching heritage, Tacos Estilo Matamoros are made up of small, oily corn tortillas, beef fillings such as bistec or molejas or beef sweetbreads, and crumbled or shredded queso fresco, and they usually come 3 to 5 in an order. Although they're wildly popular in Brownsville, they get their name from the sister city of Matamoros, where El Ultimo Taco, Los Originales, claims to have invented the style. Rolando Curiel, the owner of Brownsville's El Ultimo Taco Taqueria at 938 North Expressway, which has no relation to the Matamoros Taqueria, will tell you that you can't know his hometown without knowing the original El Ultimo. Pays his respects with small meat cram tacos that are a shining example of local taco foodways. But equally excellent is the soft chopped bistec variety at Tacos Pichu at 5727 Southmost Boulevard. A Brownsville trailer splits its time between the 77 flea market and a lot toward the end of Southmost Boulevard. Tacos Estilo Matamoros have at last moved north of the valley. Pitch perfect examples can be found on Thursdays at Austin's Quantos Tacos food truck and daily at Brian's Raspas El Payasito at 1005 South Coulter Drive. The Tacos Trompo is defined as meat, usually pork, prepared on a trompo, a vertical rotisserie. Pork Taco de Trompo at La Macro in Houston is a prime example. There are several kinds of trompo tacos, but the original is the taco arabe or Arab, thought to have been adapted from the shawarma, traditionally lamb cooked on a vertical rotisserie, brought by Lebanese and Iraqi immigrants to Puebla, Mexico in the early 20th century. The taco arabe contains seasoned pork sliced from a vertical spit, a trompo is Spanish for spinning top, and served on a pita-like flour tortilla dressed with chipotle and salsa. If traditional examples of tacos arabes exist in Texas, I've yet to find them. However, the next evolution, Mexico City's iconic Tacos El Pastor, has examples aplenty. Said to have been invented in the 60s, Taco El Pastor feature pork cooked on a trompo or spit. It's often topped with cilantro, onions, and pineapple on a corn tortilla. Among the most notable in Texas are El Pastor tacos with patches of char at Vaquero Taco, 104 East 31st in Austin, and the spindle-shaped El Pastor at Taqueria Poblana, 3200 Boonville Road in Bryan. There's also a variation referred to simply as Taco de Trompo, which is pork seasoned usually with paprika heavy marinade and finished off on a griddle. Hailing from Nuevo León, the taco is abundant in Houston and Dallas, which have large populations from Nuevo León's capital, Monterrey. In the Bayou City, La Macro at 3903 Fulton doles out its non-paprika version and other dishes using trompo meat. In Dallas, among the best is trompo at 407 West 10th in the heavily Monterreyan Oak Cliff neighborhood, which uses locally sourced flour tortillas, cradle to melt melted white cheese, trompo pork, and bistec. Pour the zingy salsa de chile de arbol on the filling for a taste of El Norte. Vegetarian or vegan tacos, they're defined as preparations that are free of any sort of meat, and in some cases, any animal products at all. And a good example here, the Baja Banana Flour Taco at Mariachi's Dine-In in Fort Worth. One of the few upsides to 2020 has been the rise of vegan and vegetarian tacos. Historically, Mexican food was heavy on vegetables. Meat is expensive. Guisados are rife with veggie options, such as cauliflower fritters, rellenas, a Saturday's only Instagram-based vegan pop-up along Northwest Highway in Dallas, opens ordering on Monday and is usually sold out by Friday. The jackfruit birria taco seems to be the big draw. In Fort Worth, Mariachi's Dine-In at 301 South Sylvania Avenue offers a separate menu of vegan alternatives to the basic PVC fillings, including signature tacos such as the Baja-style banana flour taco, which has an herbaceous flavor and meat-like texture. Lick It Up, on the web at lickitupeats.com, started as a food truck in El Paso in 2017, and in 2020 expanded to Austin for its Tacos de Alambre. It uses seitan, a protein-rich food made of wheat gluten, instead of grilled steak. And the chorizo is made from mushrooms. In Amarillo, Yellow City street food at 2916 Wolfen Avenue soaks tofu for 48 hours in a soy sauce-based marinade with maple and garlic before frying it. The seasoned crust looks like an earthy mosaic. The taco is masterful and addictive. Now, a little bit sidebar here real quick. One of the last ones here is part of How to Taco, the name game. The names of taquerias can reference anything from a place to a family. Look for terms that refer to processes. Next to Taqueria in Austin, next to Melaiza's, it's corn. Technique. El Tizoncito in Dallas is named for the charcoal used in trompos. Equipment, like Descada in Austin, uses a disco, also known as a cowboy walk, or region. El Oaxaqueño in Arlington emphasizes food from Oaxaca. And our last category in the Tacopedia is West Indian. Definition: corn tortillas filled with West Indian or Caribbean-style stews and preparations. A prime example is the chicken taco at the Jerk Shack in San Antonio, whose chef and restaurant we profiled earlier in this article. Uncommon is an understated description of this emerging style of taco in Texas, which is most often chicken or pork cooked in jerk seasoning, typically a potent mix of aromatics such as onion and garlic, earthy spices such as allspice and cumin, and a heavy dose of chilies. The standard bearer is found at the Jerk Shack, 117 Metier, on San Antonio's historically Mexican-American west side. The meats are juicy and presented in a large chop. The jerk spice is a medium heat at most, but a finish of pineapple pico de gallo gives the tacos an extra bite. The national attention the Jerk Shack received in May, when GQ named it one of the best new restaurants in the country, will hopefully spur more jerk taco spots to open in Texas. We could all use that life-affirming heat. Got a couple minutes left, so we'll turn to the state, and this is Meanwhile in Texas. An Austin man built a robot named Artie and a candy-shooting cannon to safely deliver treats on Halloween. A horse cloned from the 40-year-old cryopreserved genetic material of an endangered Mongolian breed was born at a Canyon Veterinarian Hospital. A driver in Southlake, who was allegedly attempting to show off to a woman by accelerating quickly, collided with a pole and overturned his car by the town square. An entire section of the stands at a University of Texas home football game was set aside for cutouts of dozens of different characters Matthew McConaughey has played. A 13-year-old Lubbock girl nearly collided with a police vehicle after her intoxicated stepfather allegedly designated her to drive him to get some ice cream. A San Angelo high schooler spent more than 100 hours making 25 dog beds out of discarded fire hoses, at first to earn his Eagle Scout badge, and then by popular demand. An on-duty Katy police officer was accused of stealing from a local Walmart by switching price tags of items and not scanning others in the self-checkout aisle on 14 separate occasions in a one-month period. A shipment supposedly valued at about $4.3 million and including more than 1,800 pairs of counterfeit Dior shoes was seized at the Dallas-Fort Worth port of entry. After being dropped off with his owner's parents in Spicewood for the weekend, a blue heeler named Axel escaped, swam across Lake Travis, and made the estimated 50-mile journey back home to Marble Falls over 2 days. And this was all put together by Ariella Avila. And I brings us to the end of our reading for today, conveniently. Listening to Texas Monthly Magazine, Saturdays at 5 and Mondays at 2, on site and to sound broadcasting, your print information source.
Next, on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Travelin' Texas, followed by Texas Gardener at 4:30.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas community update. Call 211 for non-emergency help hotline and get connected to existing help services in Odessa. Also, OPD is asking Odessans to file reports online rather than requesting an officer. To file a report via phone, phone 335-4961. Again, that's 335-4961.
Starting Monday on the Noon Book Hour, we bring out another one from the holiday shelf with The Clock Strikes 12 by Patricia Wentworth. When a British industrialist is murdered on New Year's Eve, his wealthy family members are the prime suspects. Though they share a manor house, the Paradines are not close, and their patriarch does nothing to discourage the petty jealousies that divide them. A cold figure, James Paradine prefers work to his relations, but on New Year's Eve, he convenes the household. Valuable plans have been stolen from his office, and only one person could be to blame. He knows the culprit's name and gives the thief until midnight to come forward. By midnight, James Paradine is dead. Was it the thief who killed him, or could it have been someone else acting on different motives entirely? The local constables are baffled, and it is left to Detective Maud Silver to out the murderer. The Clock Strikes 12 by Patricia Wentworth, starting Monday at noon and Tuesday at 2 a.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Christmas future is far away. Christmas past is past. Christmas present is here today. Bringing joy that may last. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. May your heart be light. In a year our troubles will be out of sight. From now on, have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. In the year our troubles will be miles away. Precious friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. I know that in a year we all will be together, if the fates allow. Till then we'll just have to muddle through somehow. Have ourselves a merry little Christmas now. Everybody knows.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 69 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-40s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 50s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 4 p.m.
Hello and welcome to our program. My name is Lynette McGlamory, and I'll be reading Travelin' Texas here on Sight and Sound Radio. For today's program, I'll be reading articles from the December issue of Texas Highways, and I'll start out with the article about Corsicana. The small Texas town that defies easy stereotypes has captured Hollywood's attention, by Sarah Heppola. I used to pass small towns and feel sorry for the people who lived in them. What could you do there? Who could you be? Much of modern life was such a race to be exceptional, the biggest house, the most followers, that I felt a hint of sadness staring at those rusty warehouses and abandoned shacks off the highways of rural Texas, a land that time forgot. But something happened as the technology age unfolded, with all its virtual bustle and ambient anxiety, and I became a woman who sniffed around small towns looking for a hit of what they had. A slow poor pace, a sense of community, something called affordable rent. That's how I wound up spending time in Corsicana, a town of 25,000 people an hour south of Dallas. The more I wondered its quaint contours, the more I came to feel not sadness for the people who live there, but envy for their lifestyles. Contrary to my preconceived notions, there was plenty going on, an artist residency, a hit reality show, and a police chief making movies. I wrote a Western last week, said Robert Johnson, the first police chief I ever met with his own internet movie database, IMDb page. Over the past decade, Johnson has acted in more than 30 TV and film productions. More recently, he's cracked his knuckles as a producer and screenwriter. When we met, he was eagerly preparing for the filming of his Western, fittingly called Corsicana. Johnson's unusual career in law enforcement and entertainment has helped bring more than a dozen projects to town in the past few years, including a drama called Warning Shot, with David Spade, and a B-movie satire called American Zombieland, the climax of which involved locals descending on the historic downtown as mobs of the undead. But Johnson is only one of many people reimagining what it means to live and thrive in rural Texas, a part of the country that is transforming from a land of time forgot into a land of opportunity. Corsicana's rise in the 21st century is a story of small towns, which are making a comeback as the blinking metropolises grow more clogged, expensive, and tenable. You could say the internet started it, unlatching us from any fixed geographic spot. But Chip and Joanna Gaines turned the trend into a revival, building an empire in Waco by showing folks how to transform those abandoned shacks into neo-rustic dream homes. A new generation was rediscovering towns like Lockhart, Brenham, and Marble Falls long before the pandemic and the rise of Zoom made their own compelling arguments against urban density. As I wandered the wide avenues of Corsicana, I noticed how easy it was to socially distance, as though staying 6 feet apart was not a public health measure, but a way of being. Until recently, Corsicana had been known for one thing, fruitcake. Collins Street Bakery is home to the indomitable dessert and, improbably, the setting of a Made in Hollywood baked goods scandal featuring an unassuming accountant who embezzled millions. A movie about the crime, starring Will Ferrell, was in development, although its current status is unknown. The city's reputation leveled up in early 2020 when a Netflix reality series called Cheer tumbled into the zeitgeist. The compulsively watchable six-episode show, It came to town independently of Johnson's efforts, took viewers through a nail-biting season with the top-ranked Navarro College cheerleaders, whose injuries and feats of daring show how cheerleading has evolved from sideline spectacle to rigorous competition. With its gravity-defying basket tosses and hard-luck tales of kids vying for greatness, cheer was like Cirque du Soleil meets Our Town. The show was a surprise hit, garnering 3 Emmy wins and turning its hard-driving but maternal head coach, beloved Corsicanian Monica Aldama, into an overnight sensation, who waltzed her way to 10th place on Dancing with the Stars while continuing to coach her famous squad. Surprises have long been part of Corsicana's history. A man drilling for water struck oil in 1894, turning a land of cotton fields into the first oil boomtown west of the Mississippi. The railroads had arrived in 1871, making for a bustling turn-of-the-century marketplace where enterprise and characters collided. A boy named Lyman T. Davis dragged his wagon past the saloons to sell bowls of chili for 5 cents, a business that became Wolf Brand Chili. An oil field worker bothered a singing cowboy named Lefty Frizzell, whose honky-tonk yodel influenced generations of country performers, including Willie Nelson, who recorded an album of cover songs. The Lefty Frizzell Museum at Pioneer Village is one of the city's hidden gems. In 1884, a one-legged tightrope walker strung a high wire across the main street, only to tumble to his death and into Texas lore. The unidentified man is buried in a grave under the name Rope Walker, though a recent book claims his name is Joseph Berg. When I expressed confusion about the story to a local, why was a one-legged man walking on a high wire across downtown again? He answered in a soft twang with a wave of his hand, well, he had to sell his potbelly stove. The sliding door moment for Corsicana came in 1919, when city leaders, hoping to retain the town's cozy charm, declined to let Magnolia Petroleum Company build 2 29-story skyscrapers in downtown. The company, which became Mobile Oil, moved to Dallas, along with much of progress. Corsicana still had wealthy oil families whose patronage shaped the town, but the urban boom that transformed Texas in the latter half of the 20th century left Corsicana largely untouched. The rare success story was Collins Street Bakery, whose pecan-rich deluxe fruitcakes were a mail-order sensation, becoming both late-night punchline and holiday staple. But the downtown area fell into disrepair, a slump that spread through much of rural America. It took decades to revitalize the downtown into a place where out-of-towners might like to venture. Downtown Corsicana called to me when I pulled off a drab stretch of Interstate 45 one Sunday on my way back home to Dallas from a friend's ranch in nearby Streetman. I sauntered along the red brick storefronts that reminded me of 20th century Americana, with new and old murals seemingly made for the Instagram age. The main stretch of Beaton Street was spookily quiet, the only noise the lonely blare of a train passing through. I could have been the only one there, although, in fact, I was learning a valuable lesson about small Texas towns. Never visit on Sunday. Everything's closed. That sense of having stumbled onto something unique is a common experience here. It felt like limitless potential to build a world, said Kyle Hobbistrick, a young artist who struggled to find an affordable wood shop for making furniture while living in Dallas about 9 years ago. He heard about a space in downtown Corsicana, a leaky 3-story 19th-century former Odd Fellows Lodge that was equal parts decrepit and magical. He bought it. He called the place 100W, after the address, 100 West 3rd Avenue, and because he liked the notion of going west to build, and spent years restoring it to a dreamy marvel of natural light with huge lofts. He didn't need 11,000 square feet of space, so, along with a few other local artists, he hatched a plan to build a residency that has now hosted 100 visiting artists and writers from places like Iceland, Scotland, South Korea, Argentina,